so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Let's stand to our feet and sing.
Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Sing it out.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Who brings
our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Here we go.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Whoa, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
Amen. Would you turn to your neighbor and ask them if you remember what the phrase 5x12 means? 5 before 12. Just ask them, do you know, recall what this means? 5 before 12. All right, everybody, let's make our way back to our seats as we shift focus towards the scripture. That's right. Yeah, this morning we're going to be reading from Psalm. We're going to be reading Psalm 23. Just as soon as it makes it up on the screen. There it is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's Psalm 23.
I've heard thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I am loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. Well, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I am loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're perfect, you are perfect in all of your ways, perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of to us. You are perfect in all of your ways, perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still in the love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I am loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I am loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
At this point in the worship, I'm going to invite everybody here to really focus in on what we're singing in this bridge and the fact that He is perfect in all of His ways, no matter how we understand Him or we don't understand Him. And as we go into this next bridge, I would invite you to raise your hands. Lift your hands just as high as you want or as low as you like in reverence to Him, acknowledging all of His ways and His perfectness.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us, God. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. You are in all of your ways to us. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, and I am loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
When John.
Darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know. I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, shame no longer has a place to hide. And I am not a captive to the lies. And I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. No, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken.
Sing it out.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. This power that can break off every chain. This power that can empty out a grave. This resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear, my fear, my fear. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. standing on the rock. I'm standing in gold.
Let's just surrender all we are to Jesus. If we're carrying things that are heavy this week, laying it down at His feet, looking for peace and restoration that we know is only there. It's only from Him.
Well, are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Well, let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. He rises up from an empty grave, and ain't no sinner that He can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is I know that He can do for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Sing it out. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years, and tell the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave, and ain't no sinner that He can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is I know that He can do for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Yeah, let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen, amen. Who would take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all the guilty? Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. He rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that He can't save. And let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is I know that He can do for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Sing it out. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Hallelujah, 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 let my Jesus change your life.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that You're here with us this morning. Thank You, God, that You've given us a place to gather, a place of safety. And Lord, sometimes we take that for granted, but I just want to say thank You so much for giving us this building, this body of people. I pray that we would not just walk by each other, but we would take note of every person, every soul in this place, and we would connect and be that brotherhood and have that fellowship that we're supposed to have, encouraging one another. Lord, no matter if we're on a mountaintop or if we're in a valley, that we're gathered here in your name, and you say where two or more are gathered that you're here. And Lord, we know this, and we feel you in this place, Holy Spirit. I pray that you would come and do what only you can do, and you would change lives. Lord, but also it's on us to open ourselves up to receive you and to be listening. So I pray, God, if we haven't been listening this week, that we would take the opportunity right now to put everything at your feet, open up our hearts, and receive all you have for us. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Did you figure out what 5 before 12 was? All right, I'll explain it to you if you didn't hear. So some people will remember about 2 years ago, we did a campaign called 5 before 12. And how 5 before 12 worked, it was very successful. And I'll tell you about a little bit of how that worked. But the idea behind 5 before 12 is for people to come into the sanctuary and try to talk to 5 people before 12 o'clock noon. And like I said, it was really successful. It was really good because when I first came, what was happening is people were filing into the sanctuary like right on time, and it was really quiet. And then right after the service, everyone got up and left. And so it was like a ghost town at like 12:01. And I'm like, this can't be good. So we started something called 5 Before 12 and promoted it, and it was hugely successful. Within a couple of months, and I'm not joking, if you were here, you knew that within a couple of months, things changed here. Because pretty soon, people started coming into church early, and they would sit and just talk, and people were gathering. Before the church service started, there was chatter going on. And then after the service was over, people would stay and talk, and it was a huge success. And primarily, I think some of it was the Lord's working, but primarily the reason why 5 before 12 worked, because people need love. It's just something about how we're made. It's something about the way that the Lord created us. People need love. And you may be one of those people who, I'm sure you are, people who need love. There are some people, there are many people who come into a church on a Sunday morning and they've had a rough week. They live in a culture that now doesn't embrace the faith that they own. And so now they're a bit on the outs. They're in a culture where they're the minority. They're the one that nobody wants to be around anymore. Unfortunately, some people have been in churches where they've experienced significant difficulty. People have said things, people have judged them within the church, and so they've walked away and said, this is a place where I'm supposed to find love, and I'm walking out of here, and I feel way less than loved. And so people today, I would say now more than ever, but that may be an exaggeration, I would say people today now more than ever need love. People need love from believers in churches. It's just the nature of the way things are right now. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to pose the question, to the Bible, and we're going to talk about this, is how do we love each other? How should we love each other? How can we love each other? How should we love each other? So we're going to be in the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you have your Bible, I would invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we are going through a series, kind of walking our way through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to be today in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And what this book is a letter that's authored by the Holy Spirit. And it's written, the human narrators are Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And they're writing to a young church, a small church, very young, just started to get going. In the first part of the letter, he talks about what's going on in their lives. And now in the second part, he's talking about what they should do. And this morning, we're going to talk about how should we love each other. And we're going to see this morning that we should love each other. Our love should be guided. We're going to talk about what that guide is. Our love should be growing. And then the last part we're going to talk about is that love should be gifted. It's gifting. It's something we give. And my challenge today, and I'll tell you right off the bat, my challenge today is going to be a little tough. It's going to be a tough challenge. Now, if you've been around here for any amount of time, you know usually I give you a challenge at the end of the sermon, and I'm just warning you in advance, this one's going to be tough to do. Okay, just so you know, this one's going to be tough. Anybody ready to do it no matter what it is? Okay, I got a couple hands. Good. All right, okay, good. I'll take those. It won't be that bad, but I think you'll be ready for it. It's going to be good. It'll be wonderful, but it'll be tough. Okay, so I'm just giving you a heads up. So let's go back to the text. So first, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 9, going all the way to verse 12. And the first thing that we see is the love should be guided. Now, if a person, these people who are being written here to are people that are believers. They are people who have entered into an intimate relationship with God because of what Christ has done for them. So they're believers. And so they have something in them. They have a guide. And the guide that we're going to talk about here is their experience of how the Lord loved them and brought them into a relationship with himself. And that experience is their guide. Look with me at verse 9. It says this, "Now, as to the love," so he's talking to these believers about this concept, this subject of love. This is not love between a man and a wife. This is the love between a person who is in a right relationship with God and another person who is on the journey. It's a relationship between people, not a romantic relationship, but a love. And nevertheless, can be very strong. It can be a strong emotional affection for that person. And so he's saying, "Now, as to the love of the brothers and sisters." So the love between brothers and sisters. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are using this terminology, this family terminology here. And it's warm and it's friendly, and they want to keep using that, so he's going to do it. It's "now as to the love of the brothers and sisters." Then he says this, "You have no need for anyone to write you." He's not saying that you shouldn't see what's written here because they're writing to him, so it's okay. He's saying you don't need this. You can get it. It will be helpful, but you don't need it. Well, why? Why don't they need it? Verse goes on to say this, "For you yourselves," there's two pronouns jammed together, and when you see that, it's meant to slow things down and get the reader to understand he's talking about you yourselves, within you. Same for them, same for us. "For you yourselves, if you are a believer, are taught by God." You are instructed, you are given instruction, you are shown the way by God to love one another. What he's saying is you already have within you the knowledge about how to love each other. You already have that. And how do they have that? Because they've already gone through the experience of being loved by God and entering into a relationship. The way that God loved them is instructive for them to love other people. And that's the gist of this verse. He's letting them know that that love should be guided. The love that we have for each other should be guided, and should be guided by the way that God loved us. That's the template we should use. That's the instruction that we should take, is how God loved us. Now, when we did this 5x12 campaign, there was two ways we could have done it. I could have said, hey, we're going through a Bible verse that these verses say that you should love each other, or that you should build a connection with each other, so just go do it. But instead what we did, and it was wiser on our part, instead what we did is said, this is what you should do, and this is how to do it. There was a guide for how to do it. Next Sunday, five people and build a relationship, or connect with them, have a conversation with them. There was a guide that we gave people to accomplish that. And the same thing is being talked about here. It's saying, hey, you need to love each other. I want you to love each other, but you don't need instruction for how to do it, because you've already got the guide. How God loved you. And this is so important for us, and I field a lot of questions from time to time for people and say, hey, I have this individual in my life that I need to love, and you may have had me tell you this, and I said, okay, how did God love you? That's how you love them. If someone is interacting with someone and they're trying to love someone who's different than them, they're different, maybe different sex or different age or different life experience, and I say, if you're trying to love them, then ask yourself, how did God love you? You were different than him. How did he love you? Look at your own experience as a guide. If a person is trying to love someone who's going through a rebellious period, and that person is just really rebellious, I say, hold on. How did the Lord love you during your rebellion? Look at your own experience. Look at the way that God loved you, and use that as your guide. So the first thing is that how should we love each other? We should love guided. And the love that we express for other people should be guided by the way that the Lord loved us. Use that as our guide for how we interact with each other. So how should we love each other? First of all, guided. Love should be guided. Number two, love should be growing. Look with me at verse 10. For indeed, you practice it. He's talking to the Thessalonian believers here. They're practicing love, loving each other toward all the brothers and sisters. Again, that family term, keeping things warm and friendly. Who are in all Macedonia. So Macedonia was the big area that was surrounding Thessalonica. So it'd be kind of like saying, you guys love the people in Dallas, but you love all the people in the DFW area. Okay, this is not specifically referring to love within a church, it's love within the people that you have contact with who are believers. And it says, for you guys, speaking of the Thessalonians, for indeed you practice love toward all the brothers and sisters who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, we encourage you, we're spurring you on, brothers and sisters, bringing in those familiar terms again, to excel even more. See, the first part of the verse, he says, you're already doing this, you're loving the people around you, the believers that are around you, you're already doing this, and he says, here's what I'm urging you, do it even more. Now, sometimes that's hard because we're like, well, when is enough is enough? Well, how do you know when you've done it enough? And that's not the spirit of what's being talked about here. What's being said is, listen, you're doing a good job. You are expressing love, but now do it even more. Keep growing. Keep learning. Keep reaching out in love to new people and in new ways. Yes, they were doing a pretty decent job, but he was urging them, do it even more. And that's critical for us, because it's so easy to settle into the way we've been doing things before. Now, the 5 before 12 program that we did, the campaign that we did, after the fact, things changed, and everybody has pretty much gotten used to the changes. But when we first started, it was difficult. And I don't mean this as a criticism at all, because the thing is, it's very easy and it's very comfortable to walk in and sit down and not have to face rejection. You don't have to reach out to somebody and say, hey, how you doing? And they're like, don't want to talk to you. Don't care who you are. You don't have to face that. You just come in and you sit down and it's cool. Everything's fine. You go through the service and you leave. And that's comfortable. But when we introduced 5 by 12, we said, come on, let's do something more. Let's push the envelope. Let's do something more. And people did. But it was work. They had to be willing to allow themselves to be put into a socially awkward situation where somebody might reject them. They had to. But they did. Stepping into that situation, they saw that it was helpful for people. It's helpful for themselves, and they walked through it. And growing in this area of loving each other is going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. It's not because you probably don't want to do it. It's because you may not know how, or you may be afraid of how people are going to react. But the challenge from this verse is, even if you're doing some things good, excel even more. And that's how we should love each other. Our love for each other should be growing. Just because we're doing well, we've got some good friendships, things are cruising along well, that doesn't mean it's time to pull off the gas. Doesn't mean it's time to step back. Excel even more. So how should we love each other? How do we love each other? First of all, we love each other by... We love each other by being guided, and then it has to be growing. And the last thing is by giving. We love giving. Look with me at verse 11. Verse 11 says this, and to make it your ambition, so in addition to excelling even more at loving each other, make it your ambition, make it your goal, make it your desire, make it the thing that you're trying to achieve, to lead a quiet life. Now, some people think that this is a change of topic. Don't think so, and the grammar doesn't support that. Very likely what's being talked about here is the same subject that he's been talking about for the previous verses. Love each other with a quiet life. Don't be obnoxious. Don't be loud. Don't be boisterous in the way that you love other people. Don't be loving other people so that everybody sees you loving them to give you credit. Don't be loud and obnoxious about it. Be quiet. Love them quietly. Second of all, he goes on to say, not only quiet, but attend to your own business. And the idea here is love each other, but don't love each other in a certain way so that you can meddle in their business. Don't be drama. Don't find out what's going on in somebody else's life so you can talk to somebody else to make them think highly of you because you know something. Don't meddle. If somebody needs prayer, you can pray for them. But don't make it common knowledge. Don't be boisterous about it. Don't be a drama. Don't be drama with it. Love each other with a quiet life. Attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we instructed you. And the idea here is the age-old problem with love. It's easy to say to someone with words, I love you. It's much more difficult to actually demonstrate it with your hands. And the context here is suggesting that what they want, what Paul and Silvanus and Timothy want these believers to do is love each other, love the people around you, but don't be a drama queen about it. Don't be loud. Don't be obnoxious. Don't get involved in other people's business. Don't meddle in their business. And do it in tangible ways. Express your love to them in a way that's real and that's tangible. And he says, verse 12, so that you will behave properly towards outsiders. And again, upping the ante here, the way that we love each other should be a way that's honorable, not dishonorable. You don't want to be at a restaurant talking about how the people in your church are doing X, Y, and Z. That's dishonorable by being dishonorable to people outside of the church. It says, don't love people in a way that's dishonorable. So people on the outside of the church will look in and say, I don't want to be a part of that. Those guys are talking about each other. Those guys are just being drama. Don't want to do that. Verse 12, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in a need. So you're not outside looking for your love needs to be met outside of the church. Not looking for people that are not in a relationship with the Lord to love you so that you can find comfort and peace. Love each other in a way that is honorable both to the people in the church as well as a good example to the people on the outside. And our love should be giving. It's doing what's best for the other person, really, truly doing what's best for them. Giving of ourselves in love to them, not trying to get something out of them in return. So that love should be giving. And one of the reasons why this 5-4-12 was so successful was because people were genuinely trying to love the people around them. They were genuine about it. It wasn't something where they were trying to be obnoxious. They weren't. There wasn't a scoreboard that was put up and said, oh, Pastor Forrest talked to 5 people today or whatever. There was none of that. It was none of that. It was genuine. People felt genuinely acknowledged and appreciated. And it worked. It was genuine. And that's the nature of what Paul and Timothy and Silvanus are telling this church. This is how you should love one another. It should be giving. It should be giving of yourselves to them in a way that is beneficial for them. So how should we love each other? First of all, it should be guided. We should love each other along the same lines of the way the Lord loved us. Using our experience of how the Lord loved us as a guide for how we should love others. Second of all, it should be growing. Don't settle for the progress that you've made. Keep trying new things. Keep reaching out to new people. Keep loving in a growing. Your love should be growing. And the last thing is it should be giving. Not drama, but truly doing what's best for other people. We have a young marrieds group that's been meeting as a small group. They're meeting with Lisa and I at our house. And so there's a couple of young marrieds, and then there's one old married. But that's us. So that's how it works. And so this group has been meeting. And from our first time, one of the people in the group started hugging people before they left. They started hugging them. Now, I was like, and it was weird to me because I'm like the one leading this. And I'm kind of like, okay, that's kind of weird. But I was a little weirded out by it. I was like, these guys don't know each other that well yet. I don't know if we're ready for hugs yet. It was so a little weird. I said, okay, I was going to see how it went. But then later that week, I started thinking about it. I said, yeah, but you know what we're saying is we're saying we want to love each other, and we're saying we want to help each other figure out how to be a young married person and how that all works. We're trying to help each other. We want to love each other. Why is it so strange that we're hugging each other? Maybe it's not. And so the next week, I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. It just kept going. And the weeks that have passed, it's kind of just kept going. And people are hugging each other when they leave. And it's still a little uncomfortable, but it's okay. We're getting there. So I tell you that story for a reason. So here is my... Yeah, I know. Sorry. Okay, I'm not looking over there. So here is my challenge for you. 3 G's. Except for the word that's going to go with the 3 doesn't start with a G, it ends with a G. Hugs. So here's the challenge. Every week on Sunday, hug 3 people. 3 people. Okay? Now I'm going to help you out. Okay? I'll hug anybody. So like you got one right here. All I got to do is say, Forrest, I need a hug. And I'll give you one. That's fine. A bunch of people did it after the first service. No problem. So you got one down. You just need two more. Okay? Here's the thing. I know it's uncomfortable. I get it. I understand. But I want to push you a little bit more in the way in which we love each other. I want to push you. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a little bit of work. But it'll be good for us. It's going to be hard. It'll be good for us. So starting next week, you have the whole week off. Hug three people before you leave for the end of the service. Okay? And I saw you all that raised your hands before you knew what it was. So, okay. It's okay. The idea is, I want to challenge you guys to take our love for each other to the next level. Maybe this week we'll do that. Hopefully in the weeks that come we'll do that by giving each other a hug. Here is this is the point in the service now where we celebrate the Lord's Supper. If you didn't receive one of these disposable communion cups on your way in, raise your hand. We have an individual in the back who will give those to you. And so what we're doing with this time is, if you're not familiar with it, if you are familiar with it, sorry, I'm going to give you the explanation again, but this is something called the Lord's Table. And this is an opportunity for those who have come to the place in their life where they have turned their lives over to the Lord and have said, Lord, I believe in what Jesus did on the cross for me. And so they've entered into an intimate relationship with God. They're not perfect, but they're working on it, okay? And they understand that they have that relationship with God right now only because of what Jesus did on the cross for them. And if this is all news to you and you're like, I don't know what, I'm not sure what you're even talking about, come see me after the service and I would love to tell you all about it. But for those of you who have entered into that intimate relationship with God through Christ, from time to time we like to look back and say, man, Jesus, thank you for doing what I couldn't do. Thank you for being willing to allow your body to be broken, which is how we'll be reminded through the bread. Thank you for allowing your blood to be spilled, which is what we'll celebrate with the cup. Thank you for what you have done for me so that I can have an intimate relationship with God. And the first part of that process is with the bread. And I'm quoting from the book of Corinthians. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took some bread. And when he had broken it, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. A few short hours later, Jesus would allow his blood to be spilled in a allusion back to the Old Testament sacrifice to validate that he was the only one who could do this. And so when he gave the cup to his disciples, he said, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we do just thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be reminded as we take the cup and as we take the bread of the sacrifice that you, your Son Jesus, was willing to make on the cross on our behalf. Lord, I pray that if there is anyone here this morning who does not know you and does not have an intimate relationship with you, that they would reach out to someone before they leave this building. And Lord, I do just pray that you would remind us of the need, of the very real and tangible needs of the people around us for love. And I pray that you would give us the courage in the weeks and months ahead to reach out to them with a physical expression of your love. We love you and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
A few announcements this morning. Next Saturday, October 19th, is Autumn Bogner's baby shower. So all the ladies of the church are invited. That will be from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. in the fellowship hall. Also, in the first hour of church at 9:30 every Sunday morning, in room 202, there is a Foundations Adult Sunday School class where the class is doing a systematic study of Christian doctrine. So if that would be of interest to you, we would encourage you to attend that class at 9:30. Also, the church has need for volunteers in various ministries. So if you would like to serve in some area, you are welcome to call the church office and find out how you could get involved. And lastly, we encourage and invite everyone to be generous in their giving to the church. Giving is not only an act of worship, but it is an act of faith as well, saying that we are giving to the Lord, trusting that in the future He will provide for us. And there are two ways to give. One is in the wooden boxes at the foyer there, and the other is online. So you're welcome to give through whichever way you feel is best. And now we'll invite Julianne for an announcement on children's ministry.
Right. Good morning, everyone. So my name is Julianne Cassetta, if you haven't met me yet. I've been helping with the children's ministry here at Redeemer. Hang on. Let me just hold it this way. I've been helping with the children's ministry here at Redeemer since the end of August, and as we've been getting going, these are some thoughts I'd like to share with everyone. So our church mission is to glorify God, build up our members in love, and reach out to unbelievers to win them to Christ. I think the way that children's ministry fits in this is that I'm seeking for the kids' hearts to be transformed by the love of God, demonstrated in His Word and in the love of the church. And so far we've done three things to start pursuing that goal. And the first, and I think most important, is that we're building relationships with the kids, letting them know that they're seen, they're cared for, they're valuable, they're prayed over. I think this is especially like the main focus of nursery. Second, as the kids get older, we're teaching them the Bible. So teaching through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, so that they can see how each individual part of the story is part of God's whole story, so that the main character, wherever we're looking at in the Bible, the main character is God, and that's the focus. And then finally, we're memorizing Scripture, because we know that the Lord's Word does not return void. As we continue to develop our children's ministry, I'm very aware that the church is a family, but in the life of a child, we're the extended family. So we are there to love the kids, but we're also there to support the immediate family, to support parents. And I'm still clarifying how I can do that in my role, but I think the church as a whole has a really important role to play in coming alongside our young families and young parents, just offering encouragement and offering help as we all seek to become the body of Christ that helps each of us to grow to maturity. So, thank you.
Well, Julianne was a wonderful gift to us. So she's a sweetheart. If you haven't had a chance to just talk to her and visit with her, I encourage you to do that. She just got a really good heart for the Lord and loves our little kids. So she's doing a wonderful job. If you need someone to talk to after the service, please come up front. I'll be up here. There'll be somebody up here to talk with you if I'm busy. If you need someone to pray with you, please come up front. We've got some people who would love to pray with you. Let me close this in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the wonderful elements of this worship service that we've been able to be a part of. Thank you for the ways in which you are stimulating us and encouraging us, not only to love each other, but in the midst of that, to grow in our relationship with you. Lord, we just pray that you'd give us a good week, help us to be mindful of these things, and bring us all back next week to hear some more. We love you, and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Have a good week. If you need a hug, I'm up here.